Hola, hola, and welcome back to Vos Memos. I'm your host, Angela George, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how to fight the overwhelm of the 24-hour news cycle so we can live our full brat summers. From lead and tampons to Kamala is brat, we are going to be informed and unplugged. So grab your snacks, start your hot girl walk, or your nighttime routine, because you're listening to Vos Memos. Okay, so let's jump right in. A lot has happened since the last episode of Vos Memos. More than most 2 week spans that I can remember since we started the podcast. So just to recap, lead and tampons, Donald Trump assassination attempt, CrowdStrike crash across the globe, Joe Biden drops out of the presidential race, Kamala is the new Democrat candidate for president, and that's just the things I could remember, because I'm sure there was so much happening in the global news and in small town news that I'm not aware of. So still, I remember the lead and tampons made me so furious. It took me like a full day to process that news, and there was so much like misinformation, speculation. And honestly, I haven't seen the conclusion of what the study meant in terms of safety for wearing tampons, especially like long-term usage. So I'm not going to advise on that. And I'm also not going to get into what I do on the podcast. We're going to keep it high level here and maybe just look at the sustainable alternatives that are out there that are invented by women for women. Just an idea if you're nervous about it. And then, yeah, I'm not going to talk too much about the assassination attempt because it's an awful historical moment. And enough said. But the CrowdStrike crash, that I didn't really understand what was happening in the moment because my company wasn't impacted. My boyfriend's company was impacted. And as I learned more about what the crash meant, especially in terms of planes not like taking off, hospitals, like all kinds of infrastructure that has these critical machines that are running CrowdStrike, which if you don't know what CrowdStrike is, it is kind of like antivirus, but at a like lower level on the computer. So it's always running, it's always self-updating, and it's usually installed on critical machines that cannot afford to go down. And then all of those machines went down. Really makes you think about how our infrastructure is so fragile. Just one update can down like 1% of all global Windows machines, which is really scary. And also makes you, I hope it makes you want to just unplug from it all, because when I realize like how much time I'm spending on the screen, and in an instant that could just be boom, gone, blacked out, not recoverable. And I spent all that time on the screens. Why did I do that? It just makes me think. And oh, one thing I want to address, if you're watching the YouTube version of this podcast, you might have noticed new headphones, which is something that happened in the last 2 weeks. So on topic. You can thank Bobby for chewing up the last set of headphones. And truth be told, the last couple episodes, only one ear of the headphone was working for me, but needed to keep using it for sound quality and the aesthetic. So I was working with pretty janky headphones, and now I'm really loving these new ones. And they're kind of in my, it's not my signature color, but the baby blue, powder blue, it's like my second favorite color maybe. So if I can't get lavender or lilac, I get this color. So new headphones for the foreseeable future of Vos Memos. Another thing in the last 2 weeks of craziness. And then, so yeah, the CrowdStrike crash, I love hearing about this kind of stuff, not because, I mean, obviously it's really bad, but I just like to stay like in the know with tech, and I follow a couple different tech podcasts. I think the VergeCast is really fun and timely, and they go into the details, which I really like to hear. And then, yeah, I think they're also really good for if you're not that familiar with technology, they do break it down. So if you want to know more about the CrowdStrike crash, just, or maybe what I recapped is enough for you. So, yeah, I forgot. My audience is supposed to be brats, so I don't know if brats care about CrowdStrike, but here we are. On to Joe Biden dropping out of the race, and the Kamala nomenon is what I've been seeing people call it. First off, Kamala, after the announcement and the endorsement from Joe Biden, she raised over $100 million in the first 36 hours, which is crazy and necessary because she only has like 1 week left of July, August, September, October, and then election month. So that is no time. No time to convince the nation that she deserves to be president. I would love to see her in the debate. I think she would crush a debate. And it's reminding me a lot of when she debated Mike Pence. And then, unfortunately for Pence, the only thing people could remember from that debate was that a fly landed on his head. And there was like an amazing SNL skit after that. So I just need some of that content. But about Donald Trump. Like, let's get her on the debate stage. Let's bring the fly back. Let's see what happens with that. So she has all this momentum. She's like getting money. She's getting endorsements. She's getting donations from first time donors, like huge momentum, excitement throughout the whole Democrat Party. And then Charlie XCX drops the tweet, whatever they call it now. Kamala is brat. And Kamala's team runs with it. Like her whole social media is rebranded as like Brat Summer, with the green, with the like text, and memes are everywhere. People are calling it a coconut apple summer, and I'm here for it. I think no politician has really been reaching out to Gen Z, and it's becoming like Gen Z is becoming a bigger and bigger part of the electorate. So it's refreshing to see somebody actually have a smart team. Like, she doesn't have to know anything about what brat means. She doesn't. But her team can and should, so that she can have a successful campaign and reach out to people who actually are going to vote. Gen Z. So, yeah. I think it's a great move strategically. It's a great move strategically and makes me want to vote for her. I like did a TikTok deep dive into all the Kamala brat memes before this podcast to prep, and there's a lot of stands out there for Kamala Harris. I had no idea, because honestly, like, and I'm gonna get into this, like how to stay like informed but not like in it. Yeah, honestly, I was not really in it for the brat summer. I did try to like do some brat inspired makeup. Honestly, I don't identify as brat. Bobby is brat. My cat is brat, for sure. She loves to party. She does dumb shit all the time. Unapologetic. Very confident, but cuddly on the inside. And she knows I'm talking about her. And she has the eyes, like brat eyes. Like, exactly the color of brat. So, yeah, she can be the brat. I'll be, like, my own thing. I'm not a mean girl. I'm not really a party girl. My ideal weekend was this last weekend. I went to farmer's market with my boyfriend and my neighbor. and then the next day I went golfing with my boyfriend. And by that, I mean he golfed. I read in the golf cart. And that's a great weekend for me. Like, we got ice cream. Oh my God, there was this amazing ice cream shop. Mango sorbet with tahini on top. It was so good. I think we got it 2 times in a row. And I would get it again right now. Like, it was amazing. So to sum up, I would say I aspire to be brat, and that's about as close as I could get. Sometimes I'm a mean girl because I'm very judgy, but that's why I have a podcast. So that way I can judge with reason. So to circle back to the 24-hour news cycle, how to not get overwhelmed, because honestly, when I heard that Joe Biden dropped out of the race, that night I spent probably like 20 extra minutes that I could have been sleeping, scrolling through news articles, like what's going to happen next. And of course, no one had answers. It just happened. It's all speculative. And even as we get closer to the race, no one's actually going to know what's going to happen. And it all hinges on that day. What happens in that voter's mind on that day, right? And we won't know until we know. And so I would say tip number one is you don't have to be in the loop on everything instantly. So we live in an age where you can find out the important news the instant it happens. When I was on the golf course with my boyfriend, he got a push notification the moment that Joe Biden dropped out of the race. It's really good to like find out about it right away, but I could not imagine having that level of insight and notifications just sounding off anytime something happens in the world like that. It would be too much. And I think a lot of people operate like that, because whether you actually have some news notifications turned on or you're just chronically online, it's very easy to find out things instantly the moment they happen. And yes, a lot of this stuff is something you should be in the know about, you should be informed on, but you can do it in a slower, more controlled manner. And the way I like to do that is I have a couple different podcasts, like the New York Times Daily, NPR Politics podcast. They're short, concise. They have people that are reputable to report on the news and cover the news. And it just makes me feel like I can get the news in a succinct way. There's not a lot of speculation, what's going to happen next. They're just giving me the facts, and I can move on with my life as an informed citizen. Tip number two, it's okay not to know all the answers. And this is kind of what I was alluding to with the speculation. I mean, it's kind of like a place of comfort, right? Like our brains want to know a routine. We want to know what's going to happen next. And because of that, it feels very uncomfortable to not know the answers and try to find them, especially in this day and age where you can find a lot of answers if you just search hard enough and you have the right keywords. And so I would just say, try to not fall for that. You don't need to know everything. And there's only so much you can do anyway if you did know everything. So it's better to just breathe, absorb, process the news on your own, and tell yourself, like, that you can do what you can, but trying to know everything isn't going to solve that news that you just learned about. And no one really has the answers to everything. So a lot of it is just wait and see. It's really hard to let go of that mindset, though, and that's why people get like sucked into that 24-hour news cycle and the endless doom scrolling. Like, I get it. I definitely fall for it too, especially in those times of uncertainty. But there has to be a middle ground, and there has to be a way to just take a step back. Tip number three, just be in the moment. And one of the pillars of this podcast is creativity, self-care, and then the last one's career. That one's not so relevant to this episode, but being in the moment is a type of self-care, and it also lets you unleash your creativity. If you can, just for a second, put down the phone and work on your hobbies, talk to people in real life, you're going to feel so much better. Some hobbies that I'm getting back into include making friendship bracelets, the knot version, not the bead version, although I did get into that as well. But I am kind of set on this craft of like creating my own keychain, and bag charms are super in. So it's just kind of a hobby of the moment. Although I did see a video that I found pretty offensive, which was a lady using Apple AirPods Max as a bag charm to her Birkin. And I didn't see any hate in the comments. I scrolled to the comments and it was just all love and support. And I'm like, people, aren't those bags like $25,000? And she's using a $600 plus piece of technology as a charm for her bag. Like, kind of the level of overconsumption we're seeing on social media right now is another one of those coping mechanisms, because people have this existential like sense of doom because of everything happening in the world. And so people combat that with retail therapy, credit card debt, or maybe they're rich. Either way, they profit off it more by posting it on social media. And this is another reason I'm saying unplug. Let's go outside, touch some grass, go to the farmer's market. Come on. So then the other hobby, that was a bit of a tangent. I just needed to vent about that. The video really stuck with me and I didn't like or comment or share it because I'm like, I don't support it. I don't know any crafters that have a Birkin. So yeah, maybe I'm jealous. Maybe I'm a mean girl. Sorry, brat summer. The other hobby I'm always harping on, everyone should be getting into reading, the two books I just finished within the last 2 weeks. Yeah, book club happened in the last 2 weeks and it was my recommendation. I was super nervous about it because basically I have read two books from this genre, which is speculative, feminist, dystopian fiction. I know, a mouthful. I've only read two books from this genre and I've recommended both of them to book club. The first one I read, it's called The Future Home of the Living God by Louise Erdrich, and love that book. Totally recommend. Becoming a little bit too close to reality. And we read that last summer. People had mixed reviews, but by the end of the discussion, like, I mean, it was such a good discussion. I think people left with like a higher view of the book. And then the same thing kind of happened with this book, which is called Native Tongue. Native Tongue by Suzette Haddon Elgin. And it is a trilogy, so I might be reading the next one. I don't know. But this book, I actually talked about it on this podcast, potentially. When I read Word Slut, Amanda Montell recommended this book, Native Tongue, as like an interesting book in the realm of linguistics. And the premise is that these women in the year, like in the 23rd century or something like that, they are part of a family of linguists who have an innate ability to talk, or a better ability to interface with aliens and learn alien languages. And this society, which is supposedly the US in the future, super patriarchal, women can't really work outside of the household. So these linguist women are very privileged to be able to work at all. But with that privilege, they're also having to make like a ton of babies. I mean, the whole society is very misogynistic. And so, yeah, these women are also developing a resistance to this society and creating a language for women, which just that explanation alone really fired me up and made me excited to read it. But as I was getting into it, I was just so scared because I'm like, I don't know what this book really is about. Like, I don't even really like reading the inside flap. So that was all I was going off for my recommendation. And the book club, I think they liked it. It was a smaller group. We had a great discussion because obviously there's so much going on in that book that to talk about. And yeah, I think it's a very niche genre, but I think it might be my favorite genre. It's just been so amazing to have a group of women to read with. So yeah, the girlies loved it and I think I should read the next one, see how it goes. It was very engaging. I was worried because I couldn't tell how long it was. I was reading a digital version of it And it kept saying like between 500 and 600 pages. I still don't know how long it was. People that brought physical books, it looked like a normal size. It didn't look like giant. So I think it was okay. And like I said, the discussion was great. Even the people that didn't finish it, like there was just so much to talk about. Like they could chime in easily. So I think that makes it a good book club book. And then now we're jumping back into a lighter read, like an Emily Henry funny story. And I think we're going to go to like one of the book club girlies has a connect with the Minnetonka Yacht Club or something like that. And so we're going to literally have book club on a little lake island with a picnic. It's going to be amazing. Best way to end summer. Really excited for that. But anyway, yeah, so Native Tongue. I would recommend it. I give it 4 stars. And then I just finished The Locked Door via audiobook. Same woman that wrote The Housemaid, that whole series. I didn't love it. I think I'm coming to terms with, even though thriller books are thrilling, I don't love them. Which is sad, because they are a page-turner. It's very easy to keep reading them, but I just felt so, like, empty at the end. I was like, okay. People died. Things went nasty. There were creepy people. Like, and I don't need a happy ending. But it just wasn't an ending that even made me, like, think about life more or, like, I don't know. I just felt kind of icky. It's kind of like the news. I'm like, I don't need more true crime. Like, that already happens. So I think it's just not for me. And that's something that's taken me this whole time to figure out. Because getting back into reading, I didn't just want to stay with, like, what I liked in high school and middle school, obviously. So I've been really pushing myself to try new genres. Like, break out of just the romance novels. I don't have to just read dystopia, even though apparently I still really like it. And yeah, so I think thriller, crossing that off the list. I know that I'll be able to read it quickly, but I'm not really going to love it. And that's fine. I'll leave you on this last anecdote, which is to spread kindness. I think the world is full of all this like scary news. And another way to not get overwhelmed by it is to spread your own joy and happiness into the world to, like, combat it. And just the other day, I was trying to get up the elevator to get to my apartment, and these two girlies walked out in the cutest outfits for going out, and I just didn't even think about it. I was like, you guys look so good. And then they got so excited and they're like, you look so good, girl. And like, it was that whole like girls bathroom vibe type of exchange. And it made my whole night. And I'm sure they like left with a much happier like outlook on the night. So if you can, give a compliment. It really makes people's day and it does a lot to fight the evil in the world. If you liked the podcast, be sure to give it a rating, follow, subscribe, like. Whatever platform you're on, I'm on a lot of them. If you want to follow the podcast on Instagram, it's @VosMemos. Or if you want to follow on my website, it's angelageorge.com/vos-memos. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.